Chapter 9. The diner in Hope had a bottomless cup policy for its coffee, and Reacher abused it mercilessly. He drank most of a bun flask all on his own. His waitress became fascinated by the spectacle. She didn't need to be asked for refills. She came back every time he was ready, sometimes before he was ready, as if she was willing him to break some kind of a world record for consumption. He left her a double tip, just in case the owner fined her for her generosity. It was full dark when he left the diner, 9 o'clock in the evening. He figured it would stay dark for another 10 hours. Sunrise was probably around 7 in that latitude at that time of year. He walked 3 blocks to where he had seen a small grocery. In a city, it would have been called a bodega, and in the suburbs, it would have been franchised, but in Hope it was still what it had probably always been, a cramped and dusty family-run enterprise, selling the things people needed when they needed them. Reacher needed water and protein and energy. He bought 3 1-liter bottles of Poland Spring and 6 chocolate chip power bars and a roll of black 13-gallon garbage bags. The clerk at the register packed them all carefully into a paper sack, and Reacher took his change and carried the sack 4 blocks to the same motel he had used the night before. He got the same room at the end of the row. He went inside and put the sack on the nightstand and lay down on the bed. He planned on a short rest until midnight. He didn't want to walk 17 miles twice on the same day. Reacher got off the bed at midnight and checked the window. No more moon. There was thick cloud and patches of distant starlight. He packed his purchases into one of the black garbage bags and slung it over his shoulder. Then he left the motel and headed up the First Street in the darkness and turned west. There was no traffic, no pedestrians, few lit windows. It was the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere. The sidewalk ended 20 feet west of the hardware store. He stepped off the curb onto the asphalt and kept on going. Route march speed, 4 miles an hour. Not difficult on the smooth, flat surface. He built up a rhythm to the point where he felt he could keep on walking forever and never stop. But he did stop. He stopped 5 miles later, 100 yards short of the line between hope and despair, because he sensed a shape ahead of him in the blackness. A hole in the darkness, a car, parked on the shoulder, mostly black, some hints of white, a police cruiser. Vaughn. The name settled in his mind, and at the exact same time, the car's lights flicked on. High beams, very bright. He was pinned. His shadow shot out behind him, infinitely long. He shielded his eyes, left-handed, because his bag was in his right. He stood still. The lights stayed on. He stepped off the road and looped out over the crusted sand to the north. The lights died back, and the spot on the windshield pillar tracked him. It wouldn't leave him, so he changed direction and headed straight for it. Vaughn turned the light off and buzzed her window down as he approached. She was parked facing east, with 2 wheels on the sand and the rear bumper of the car exactly level with the expansion joint in the road, inside her own jurisdiction. But only just. She said,
"I thought I might see you here."
Reacher looked at her and said nothing. She asked,
"What are you doing?"
"Taking a stroll."
"That all?"
"No law against it."
"Not here,"
Vaughn said.
"But there is if you take 3 more steps.
"Not your law."
"You're a stubborn man."
Reacher nodded. "I wanted to see despair, and I'm going to."
"It isn't that great of a place."
"I like to make my own mind up about things like that."
"They're serious, you know.
Either you'll spend 30 days in jail or they'll shoot you."
"If they find me." "They'll find you. I found you."
"I wasn't hiding from you."
Did you hurt a deputy over there?
Why do you ask?
I was thinking about the question you asked me.
I don't know for sure what he was.
I don't like the idea of deputies getting hurt.
You wouldn't have liked the deputy, if that's what he was.
They'll be looking for you.
How big is their department?
Smaller than ours. 2 cars, 2 guys, I think.
They won't find me.
Why are you going back?
Because they told me not to.
Is it worth it?
What would you do?
Vaughn said, I'm an estrogen-based life form, not testosterone. And I'm all grown up now. I'd suck it up and move on. Or stay in Hope. It's a nice place.
I'll see you tomorrow, Reacher said.
You won't. Either I'll be picking you up right here a month from now, or I'll be reading about you in the newspaper, beaten and shot while resisting arrest.
Tomorrow, Reacher said. I'll buy you a late dinner. He moved on. 1 pace, 2, 3, and then he stepped over the line.